Thanks so much to everyone for joining us today. We're going to be talking today a little bit about membership and unpacking some of the various pieces, components of membership and the value of active membership and what it means to be an active member. So we have with us today the co-chair of our national membership committee. He's going to be sharing a little bit with us today. And Mr. Tariq Williams, he is also the president of our Tucson chapter in Arizona. He is the host of the Speak Your Vision podcast, excuse me. And we are Vision YouTube channel. So I haven't heard of those before. I'm real excited to check those out and see what those are about. Tariq is also a comprehensive services manager and O&M instructor. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Tariq, who is going to facilitate some interactive discussion among us today. So go ahead, Tariq.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Madam President. I really appreciate you having me here today. I'll say this, the first thing I have to say before I get into our conversation and everything is that I didn't know Indiana had so much soul. I'm listening to the music and everything like that. I started like dancing a little bit here. So it was really neat. I've never actually been to Indiana before. So maybe one day. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right. I guess this is what we call being in another state now, right? So
absolutely.
But absolutely. It's definitely a pleasure. As Diane said, I am one of the co-chairs of the National Membership Committee, along with Denise Avant. I'm the chapter president of the Tucson chapter. I'm on the board here in Arizona, as well as I am the comprehensive services manager for our Center for the Blind out here called Savvy Services for the Blind, and the O&M instructor here as well. I definitely know a few people here in the state of Indiana, so thank you all for having me. I really appreciate it. My goal in this conversation is to really have an interactive conversation, because at the end of that, my goal isn't to change people necessarily or anything like that. I would say when we talk about the National Federation of the Blind, we embrace all people, right? And we're trying to learn more about ourselves and figure out how we can be the best versions of ourselves when we have these conversations and when we're being active members of the organization. With that being said, I see we have a few people here. So thank you all for being here. And before I even get started with how I want to start the conversation, feel free to raise your hand or just say your name and we'll make sure that you get called on. But before I even get started, any of you taking the initiative to even just be here makes you a leader, all right? We don't need any type of title, or just because you're the president doesn't mean you're the only leader, vice president, chair of this, chair of that, or anything like that. If you're here, that means that you care about what you're doing. And for those who aren't able to be here, that doesn't mean that they don't care either. But I appreciate you all sacrificing, taking the initiative to be here today and hopefully take part in our conversation that we're going to have. And so to start off the conversation, I have a few different topic items that I will bring us around to our goal of talking about membership. But the first thing I want to discuss and ask the question, is there anybody here that can tell me the NFB pledge, or anybody who would like to recite it or anything like that? And if there's a few of you, feel free to jump in. If not, I also don't mind. I have it as well. So I see we have a raised hand. I can't tell who that is, though.
Is it me? Is it I?
We have a raised hand.
I can do it.
All right. Who's I can do it? What's that name?
Susan Jones.
Okay. Go ahead, Susan.
I pledge to participate actively in the efforts of the National Federation of the Blind to achieve equality, opportunity, and security for the blind, to promote the policies and programs of the Constitution of the Federation, and to abide by its Constitution. I'm sorry, my computer started jabbering at me.
Oh, awesome. That's great. Thank you. And for and if there is anybody here who doesn't know where to even find the pledge, if you even do a quick Google search and type in NFB pledge, Google will just have it pop up for you. And so I guess, Susan, I'll start with you because you recited it. So thank you. What does that mean to you when you think of the NFB pledge? What does that mean to you?
Hopefully I'm still unmuted. Am I?
Yep. Loud and clear. I can hear you.
Okay. Well, it means to me that I need to pay attention when we're making policy decisions, and I need to make sure I'm engaged because I'm going to be called upon to promote and to support those policy decisions. So it means that I can't be asleep on the job and just think the NFB is going to do it for me. I am a member of the NFB, and what, you know, my position as a member of the NFB means that I get to be involved in the decision making as well as the promotion.
Yeah, I like that. Anybody who has comments as well too, please get ready. I'd love to hear more perspectives. To respond back to what you just said, Susan, you know, I like that because, you know, President Riccobono always makes a point to say that this is a membership driven organization, right? He doesn't make all the decisions. It's the membership that makes the decisions. And so I think it's important to say, we talk about the policies and everything like that, we all do have a voice. So absolutely. I like that, Susan. Who else wants to speak on what the NFB pledge means to them? I think there's a lot of different perspectives that we can gather here.
Barbara.
Yes, Barbara.
Hi, Tariq. I'd like to share at the very beginning, the word first, I pledge.
Yes, ma'am.
You are committing to be guided by the guidelines and the programs of the organization. So many times people, I believe, jump over I pledge. Mm. That's very important. You're committing yourself to do everything that's stated in the Constitution. That was my comment.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. I like that. We jumped to some of the other different words. I think that's powerful. I like that. Thank you.
Me?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Thank you for hosting with us today.
Yes, sir.
I agree with Barbara there. The first word itself, I, you know, often stands alone. But this particular I incorporates each and every last one of us as individuals to come together collectively for this effort. And oftentimes people don't really take a look into the word pledge. You know, once again, as she indicated, it is an oath that you're pledging and to participate actively. You know, those are also key words, you know, with you and us working together collectively, participating in this effort to achieve equality, opportunity, and security. You know, those are sometimes common phrases, but they really have, there's a lot of meaning to the depth of each one of those words, you know, because to achieve equality, you know, understand, you have to understand what equality, what equity is as you participate, you know, in these efforts. Another thing, when it goes to the second phase of it about supporting the policies and the programs, well, if you don't take the time to learn and go to the website or go to different places or just listen and learn what the policies and some of the programs are of the Federation, oftentimes we're still left out there dangling around because we don't know what the policies and the programs are if you don't search for yourself, finding that I in you to find out what those are. We have great leadership here in the state of Indiana as well as in the national organization where you can find that information independently. And then to know the Constitution, you know, those are the pillars to our organization. And to look for someone else to often give that to you individually as leaders, we need to search that out for ourselves so that we can transfer that over to our new members or to our older members and to ourselves and keep updated on the policies and the program and the changing Constitution. So that's just my two cents on that.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Martin. Thank you, Lee. I appreciate it.
Ron,
you know,
Brown.
You know, you said some really neat things there for sure. And I'll say this, I'm an English major. I love words, right? And so when you even stopped at the word I, I've done this a few times and nobody, I mean, I've never gotten people to actually define the word pledge like the recent individual did right before you. And then the word I even, I think that's really neat to give power to those words that we don't always seek to actually have power. But it's important, once again, like the membership, and we are the membership. I'll pass it over to Ron. I see you have a few raised hands. Ron, great to hear your voice there.
Yes, sir. First of all, Tariq, I want to thank you for sharing your Saturday afternoon with us and our affiliate. Greatly appreciate that. Secondly, I want to say congratulations. I know you're a newlywed, and congratulations on your wedding.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Just a few comments on our pledge. Our pledge is a very powerful pledge in that it defines us as an organization. I is powerful. Pledge is powerful, and actively is powerful words that are in our Federation pledge. It is powerful because it gives us the opportunity to take ownership in our organization. It also gives us the opportunity to be an active member of our organization, to support the policies and the programs. And we can support them in a number of different ways. We can support them by joining different committees, by getting on divisions, by being a member. Just a member in a chapter is very important. We share in the responsibilities that happen in this organization. We are a group of individuals collectively focused. And so our pledge is very, very important. And if you take it to heart, then you will actively participate in it just by going to chapter meetings, just by joining divisions, just by sitting on different boards and becoming and sharing and supporting our policies and programs.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to comment on a couple of things you said there, Ron. One, thank you so much for the congratulations on the wedding, for sure. Like Ron said, I am a newlywed. I've been got married somewhat recently. So for those of you who have any what to do or what not to do during a marriage, you know, please feel free to I'll give you guys my email address and you guys can let me know. That would be great. But to get back on track, you know, I want to go back a little bit. You mentioned the word powerful, Ron. I think that's so important, right? But in terms of going to chapter meetings and taking that ownership. But, you know, once again, I go back to we're a membership-driven organization. So the pledge truly, and this is why we're having this conversation. The pledge has the power that we give it. As individuals, as the I was stated earlier, gives it. That's the only power that it actually has. So if we're reciting our pledge before a chapter meeting or we're reading it to ourselves and we're like, I pledge to participate, that doesn't sound too powerful to me. So we need to make sure we're giving it that power when we're stating it, because it only has the power. The power is in what we give those words and bring the pledge to life. So absolutely. Thank you so much, Ron. Go ahead, Diane, and then we'll get over to the raised hands.
I just wanted to mention, these are all excellent comments. And I just wanted to expound a little bit on Lee's point, about the importance of seeking out information for yourself and truly understanding what it is that you're a part of. Because one of the most important aspects of our movement is growth. We want to be able to grow and to reach out to other people who are blind who need us. So it's important when you meet a newly blinded person or just a blind person in general who doesn't know about the organization and you want to introduce them to its power, you need to be able to tell them who we are and why it's important, you know, why membership is valuable. And, you know, you just need to be able to explain the different facets of the organization and, you know, tell them why it would be valuable to them to become affiliated with us.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll definitely touch on a few of those things in a little bit, but I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. I see we have a raised hand. Is Kane? That Kane? Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just want to expound for only a second here. about something else that Lee said, and it is the word actively, especially, you know, those who are familiar somewhat with the Christian scriptures have probably heard the phrase or the verse that we are always to be ready to give an answer. And so to me, what really hit me about this, about actively, is that we're not just taking part in the Federation when we're in a chapter meeting or in a fundraising event or in a convention. You know, last night I happened to be at a picnic and someone introduced me to a guy who was an executive administrator for special needs at a local school system. And I didn't know this guy was there. And I had to be ready at a moment's notice to articulate why I was there. In other words, if he'd never heard of the NFB, which I don't think he ever had, and he might not ever join it, this was not a blind person, but this is someone of influence, is that I had to be ready to talk about, you know, we can help prepare your students, especially high school students, in a transitional period of their lives to get ready to learn blindness skills, to learn self-advocacy, to learn how to, you know, get resources they need to navigate college campuses, to get textbooks. You know, we help beyond high school to have students prepare for a successful transition into college life or occupational or professional life. And I had to list some ways that we do that and some ways in which I've helped people. So I don't think it's just articulating the policies or being able to quote the Constitution or do it when we're all in a group and in agreement. We have to be out there, in a sense, willing to share the gospel of the NFB with people that otherwise might not even care and might not have even been expecting to hear it at a moment's notice, which does mean that we have to be prepared with this stuff and we have to study it and internalize it for ourselves.
Come on, Pastor. All right. I will say this. You're absolutely right, sir, and you're absolutely right, Kane. I couldn't agree more with you. I'll touch on this comment a little bit later. But you know, as members of the National Federation of the Blind, one thing I will say before I expand upon that, I'll get to that point a little bit later. But you know, as a member of the National Federation of the Blind, you know, we're definitely not only members between the hours of 8 and 4. I mean, for those of us who have full-time jobs, you know, it can be tough. So, but then, you know, we're members through and through. You know, you're a member, and it's something that you can state and hold proudly, you know? So I absolutely agree. Thank you, sir.
This is Diane.
Go ahead, Diane, and then we'll get Misty right after.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. I think Misty's got her hand raised. I didn't know if you saw that or not. So, yeah, I just wanted to make sure that we acknowledge Misty.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Misty.
Okay, there we go. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Okay, actually, a couple of folks already kind of said what I was going to say, so I don't want to, you know, spend too long reinventing the wheel, as it were. But something I might add is that I think that, you know, it's not only being aware of and engaged in the policies and knowing about the policies, but it's also trying, you know, wherever you're positioned, as much as you can to help create those policies, to influence those policies. I mean, you know, or let's say even if you see a policy being developed where you think you might say, oh, we might want to add this to it, or we might want to change this, you know, respectfully and in an appropriate way, I think it's a good thing to jump in there and try to get involved. And I'll also say that I think it was Kane that mentioned,
being
ready at a moment's notice to give an answer. I was in that position no more than a few days ago on Twitter, of all places. Someone's husband had gone blind in a week and was having problems adjusting. And I mentioned NFB, I mentioned the training centers and explained all of that. And they're definitely going to be looking into it now. So definitely be ready at a moment's notice. You never know.
Yeah, absolutely. Got some testimony here for sure. Absolutely. You know, you definitely never know. Absolutely. And one thing I want to also comment on, Missy, what you said before is that you didn't want to necessarily reinvent the wheel, but that's in sense not necessarily the point of this conversation, but your presentation of one thing may be different than somebody else's, right? And so even though your experience might be somewhat different than Kane's or Lee's or what have you. It's important to recognize that they are slightly different. They come with different experiences. They come with different personalities. And that's something that we truly embrace in the National Federation of the Blind. You know, we have the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Committee, you know, and that's one example of it. But we recognize that we're all different, and we recognize that we all are working forward or believe in the empowerment of all blind people. So thank you so much, Misty. Anybody else about the pledge?
This is Alex Gillen.
Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
So I think we've kind of touched on a lot of this already, but I happen to be a vocational rehabilitation counselor here in the state of Indiana. Uh-huh. And so I kind of am all over the map with voc rehab and, you know, with the NFB and whatnot. But
Alex is the guy you all call when you all need some equipment, I see. And you need your talent.
Not quite.
I'm joking.
But one of the things I just kind of got to thinking about was I'm not so much a person of words as much as I am. I think just somebody, it's somebody who I think of when I think of the pledge and everything, I think of somebody who just lives it, like a lifer. I think of someone who lives it and is leading by example, like kind of a combination of everything. Definitely, like, I definitely concur with what Kane said of like being out there. Yes, you do have to be ready in a moment's notice to do it, but it's all like, it's, I think it's just kind of like being that role model. And being out there, helping people find jobs, get employed, or, you know, get connected to the appropriate resources. And then also admitting like, hey, and this is something I honestly had trouble with, because I think when you grow up, you think like, well, if you don't know the answers, then you obviously aren't doing your work. But sometimes it's actually stepping back and saying, hey, I don't know. But it's when you say that, you also are saying, I may not know it, but I know someone who might. And so I'll refer you to that person. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's kind of an all-encompassing approach, so to speak, with the pledge when I hear it or think of it. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of think of more of the lead by example type of deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you set me up for a neat transition, Alex. So I'm gonna ask you a question specifically, and then we'll go to a few more people. Because you talk about people living it. And so when we talk about the National Federation of the Blind, we're talking about, we hear different things quite often, like the pledge. And that's kind of why I started it. I'll say what might be first on that list, though, is that we typically hear people saying, live the life you want. And so you talk about someone living it. I guess, Alex, can you maybe go into what you feel like live the life you want means? And then we'll go to some others.
Oh, this is definitely going to generate some conversation, but
love it.
So like, from my perspective, I think of it as sort of living, I mean, just sort of what it says, like just literally. But I think of it as sort of having that autonomy, and, you know, you being able to make decisions for you, and not only being able to do that, but being able to spread that out, you know, to others, either across the organization and, you know, just in your community at a moment's notice. And, you know, kind of having that, I'm not going to go into anything too personal or anything, but like, since I've had my job, I feel like I have, for example, been able to start really living the kind of life I wanted, versus when I lived back in rural, of course, I'm still in rural Indiana now, but in Osgood with my parents, you don't really get that, because you're living in a house with other people. And now when you're when you're living independently, you sort of feel like you have that freedom to just do whatever it is you need to do, I guess, for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Alex. I like that a lot. I see Michael. We have a raised hand from Michael.
Yes. Hello, everyone. I was just going to say my definition of that would be basically having the courage to step out on faith and lead by example while defying the odds despite being blind. So.
All right. Thank you.
Diane Graves.
Yes, Diane. Mm-hmm.
Michael, I think that's an excellent point. And that's kind of what I was thinking as well, is that I think that it means that blindness doesn't have to place limits on you that, you know, living the life you want, if there's something that you really want to do, you know, even if it's something that primarily would require vision, it's just a matter of finding a different way to get that done. I mean, there are you know, a number of alternative techniques and ways we can work around the fact that we're blind, and we don't have to be defined by that. It doesn't have to hold us back. And I recall a recent conversation with Kane where he told me about someone that he'd learned about that was got a nursing degree as a totally blind individual. And I was just amazed by that because that's what I always wanted to do. But of course, I was told how ridiculous that was for someone who was totally blind. And I'm just really excited to see that somebody is defied that odd and they're doing that. And so I think it's a matter of just, you know, if there's something you want to do, you don't have to let your blindness define you. You can find a way to get it done.
Thank you, Madam President. Absolutely. Tyler.
Good afternoon. Mm-hmm. My definition would probably be, to go along with what Alex said, is to lead by example. And I currently work at Walmart, and I have enough sight where I can push carts, and I interact with the community every single day. And I also am the president of our at-large chapter. And so we're kind of small. And there's sometimes where I do have to lead, obviously, but there's sometimes where I do struggle on how to get guest speakers and all that. And so I really have to think on how to get from point A to point B to make sure that our meetings are successful and that they are of good quality. Mm. And so we've only been around a year, but it's really helped me to develop. Okay. I really need to, sometimes it may be 1 to 2 hours on Google or just trying to look up speakers and whatnot. And, sometimes I don't come back with anything, but you have to keep trying, and you're going to have days where I didn't get anywhere today, but keep going. Don't give up.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're speaking to some of the concrete things for sure. You know, Tyler, I think that's neat. I think the past year, I mean, gosh, you know, the past 2 years, I feel as if there's been struggle with trying to put ourselves out there with growth of chapters and people being over Zoom and everything. So once again, I appreciate all of you being here today. And, you know, once again, I applaud all of you for being here and spending your Saturday. Everybody's saying good afternoon. You know, it's only 9:30 for me because I'm on the West Coast. But with that being said, I think that when it comes down to it, and you're trying to get guest speakers and everything, you know, just all you can do is ask, you know. You know, Madam President just came up, said, reached out to the membership committee and said, hey, can someone come, you know, speak with the affiliate? And we were like, absolutely. Like, you know, as long as you send out those asks, I think that's important. But to speak specifically to your statement a little bit more, we talked about guest speakers and everything. You know, the goal to a good chapter meeting, I would say, doesn't necessarily have to do anything with a guest speaker. You know, if you want to have a conversation similar to this one at your chapter meeting, you know, find some literature and, you know, maybe try to have a conversation or express the importance of it to your chapter, you know, and it could be something that just, you know, one paragraph you found on the Braille monitor that spoke to you, and bring that up so that you continue to share the good news of the National Federation of the Blind. You know, I'll say this, you know, like Mr. Ron Brown has said before, you know, the truth about blindness, you know. And so I think that it's important to spread that even in different ways. It doesn't necessarily have to be a guest speaker, but if that's what you want, you know, send out those asks, you know, and continue doing so. With that being said, I think that live the life you want piece, and we'll get back to that, and then we'll get to some specific concrete things for sure about membership. But I just think it's so important to, you know, recognize what that means for you, and we're talking about what limitations that may be brought up and everything like that. You know, it's interesting because saying live the life you want to the regular person, or what have you is like, oh, well, don't we all live the lives we want, you know? But it's, but when we hear it from the National Federation of the Blind and people who are blind, everything like that, I feel like once again, we're giving those words that power as individuals. So I thank you so much, Tyler and Diane, for your statements. I see Misty with her hand raised again. Misty, are you there?
Okay, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm, loud and clear.
Okay, sorry about that. So yeah, I guess on the live the life you want philosophy, if you will, I guess I might take this positive statement and put it into, in a sense, a negative one. Never listen to the naysayers. That's ultimately, I think, what it comes down to, whether they be in the sighted community, whether they even be within the blind community. I mean, it ultimately comes down to that. If you think you can do something, go out there and do it. If you think you may be able to do something but aren't sure how, ask other blind people who may know how. You know, never automatically assume yourself or take it from anyone else that because you're blind, you can't do X. I think that's ultimately what it comes down to.
Hmm. Interesting. That's cool. Oh, I think I heard another name, but it was sounded a little bit muffled. Who was that?
Barbara.
Yes, Barbara. Mm-hmm.
Tarika, you ready to go on another traveling journey together?
Oh my goodness. Hey. Wow, how are you?
I am excellent, excellent. You know, this statement, live the life you want. Mm-hmm. I think about myself. Now that I'm immersed in the National Federation of the Blind, I am evolving into really living the life I want. Prior to that, I had dreams and aspirations, but I didn't know of any blind people who were really excelling and making positive attributes to society. And I know there are a lot of other blind people out there who have those dreams and aspirations, but they think they cannot achieve them. So I think it's very important that we continue to promote this statement and to come along beside those individuals who have those dreams and think that they cannot just be successful in life, because there are so many blind people who just don't feel like that they have what it takes because they've never been shown or given the opportunity, as well as seeing other individuals who are just making changes and for the better in their life.
Yeah. You know, Barbara, I want to give some context, because that's so interesting, Barbara. You know, when you talk about giving the phrase, live the life you want, that energy and that power and not knowing what's out there. You know, Barbara, when you and I, Barbara and I got to travel together a few times over at Louisiana Center for the Blind. And, you know, our O&M instructor, Marco Carranza, had us walking like miles and down highways and this and that. And I can guarantee to all of you that I was not living the life I wanted at that period in time. I was absolutely not interested. But, you know, with that being said, You know, Barbara, I do tell this story quite often to my students as an O&M instructor now, because it's interesting. And I mean, you pushed me like, come on, Tariq. It was like raining the one time. You were like, come on, Tariq, like, let's go. And I'm like, has she lost it? Like, I don't know. I was not interested. But when you talk about the National Federation of the Blind, you're talking about live the life you want. You know, what we're really getting to is even that opportunity, right? You know, opportunities that you never would have thought existed. So Barbara, thank you so much for those experiences and moments for me, but as well, thank you for your statement. I really appreciate it. Diane, did you want to add?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I just wanted to say that one of the really nice things about this slogan, live the life you want, is, of course, it has a very substantial meaning to us as Federationists, as blind individuals, but it's also very interchangeable. I mean, how many sighted people do you know that are not living the life they want, either because they don't think they can, because they don't have the means, because they don't, you know, they're just not doing what they really want to do. They're just kind of existing. And so this is a slogan that we can also use to inspire others, to inspire anybody. And again, it goes back to that leading by example too. But I mean, this is something that, if you have t-shirts or key rings or whatever it is, you can give the slogan to someone else, reach out to them and say, hey, you know, you don't have to settle. You can live the life you want, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely. you know, when we are talking about live the life we want, we're talking about getting guest speakers, and we're talking about inviting more people to our chapter meetings. You know, I'm not here to tell you that 100% of the people that you speak with and talk with are going to just jump at the chance. They might be interested, but you know, you won't always get like, oh yeah, I'm 100% going to be at that chapter meeting. And then they're there, you know, that's not always going to happen, and might not even happen half time, a quarter of the time, or, you know, but the one or two people that do, you know, who knows the lives that you're changing at that moment, and you continue to build that consistency. You know, I think about when I joined the National Federation of Blind, my first few interactions with the NFB, I kind of pushed it off. I was like, oh, look, that's cool, an organization, that, you know, but I didn't even think too much of it, right? Until I even had some consistency for me to be a part of the organization, and people cared enough about me to continue talking about the organization. But not only believing in me to continue talking, get me involved in the organization, but individuals' belief and putting the power behind the organization, because at the end of the day, it does come down to the membership. So I still encourage you to, if there's something that you want to ask, something that you want, ask for it, you know, state that, figure out who you need to talk with in order to get it. But not only in those situations, but too, when you're talking to other blind people, members, or you never know if there's a sighted individual who needs to hear about what you're doing, and they might have a blind relative themselves or a blind friend who's really looking for some positive information. We had an individual, elder gentleman, and his wife came over, and they came to our center for the blind just saying, I don't know what you all do, but I just need something. And I think he just needed to hear, one, about blind people just getting out there, you know what I mean, and getting that community, which was really neat as a successful individual in his own right, but now becoming blind and not understanding what direction to turn to, so that, and then coming to our center, he was, you know, we talked about what blindness is and what resources look like. So it's that being ready. It's true, you don't know when it's going to happen, but being true to yourself, being true to the pledge that but getting back to the live the life you want as well. So I have a couple more things I want to say about live the life you want, but I'll come back to that in a little bit. Lee, go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Live the life you want to me is really a byproduct of the word economy. And I once heard at one of our conventions, some young students coming out of the room, and one student was relatively new to the organization. And she had mentioned to the two young ladies she was walking with is, well, I can't do that. I'm blind. And the other students indicated to her, well, blindness is no excuse. And we're going to teach you and encourage you. And I just enjoyed listening to ear hustling in on their conversation because it really showed the integrity of live the life you want, and how those students really embellished themselves to making sure that the other person wasn't going to falter. So I just wanted to share that little comment.
Yeah, no, that's a great story. That's a great story. And you know, it's neat. I being a part of the National Association of Blind Students, you know, it's when I was a few some years ago now, I guess at this point, you know, it's interesting sometimes when students come in not knowing too much and kind of listening to some of those conversations and being part of them. And so I guess if there's any students on the line, I guess be sure to know that Lee's listening into all of your conversations, everybody. So be aware of that.
All right, man. I'm gonna get you for that one.
Right. Oh, but no, I think it's important, you know, it's neat to hear some of those conversations. Let me see. So when we're thinking about live the life you want, and we're talking about opportunity, and we're talking about blindness not being an excuse, right? And we're talking about limitations, autonomy. You know, I'm going to even bring it down to even more basic of a level. Because when I'm talking to different blind people or students, I'm sure that you talk to other people, you know, I want to go out to dinner tonight, but I can't do it unless I have somebody else with me, you know? And so, like, I want to go see a movie and use the audio description and stuff like that, but I can't, you know? And so we talk about that. We started off talking a little bit about jobs and getting that autonomy and living your own life and everything like that. But even on such a some of us who have gained some more independence and on a day-to-day level, you know, I think it's important to even recognize that, you know, something just like, who knows, like, I don't know, like washing your own dishes or anything, like some of these things too, like truly, even me, like live the life you want, having that autonomy to do your day-to-day, right? And so we're talking truly about adding power and agency to the pledge, adding power and agency to the live the life you want, as something that might seem, I would say some people might say that it's overused sometimes, but it's so important because truly living the life you want, you know, I'm sure that we all could possibly even think of somebody who's not. And so that, again, is a reason for the organization. We started talking a bit about policy, right? And creating policies in the organization to advocate for different things that blind people need. But I truly want to bring it down to even that day-to-day level, right? And spreading the importance, the good news, the truth about blindness in the National Federation of the Blind. And so when we talk about all of those different things, we're recognizing that these things might mean something different for every individual. So when we're talking to each other as leaders, when we're talking to each other as members, I would say recognize that we are all at different places. So when it comes down to membership and we're meeting new people, strangers, those we talk to on a daily basis, our friends, our family, we have to meet people where they are at. Have the conversation. What are you interested in? What do you do? What do you want to do? You know, get to know them. You know, one of my main interests in the National Federation of the Blind, just being honest, I met, and some of you might, may know this individual, but I met one of my best friends, Syed Rizvi. And I just wanted to hang out with my friends, you know, and be a group of friends, but be a group of family as well, too. And those things are important. And having that welcoming environment with each other is so important. And so when we talk about what the organization is, we're also talking about meeting people where they are at. And, you know, we might not always get the answer response that we like, but, you know, that consistency, recognizing what the organization has done for you. Sometimes when I have these conversations, I might talk about what the NFB means to you. And if anyone wants to talk about it in a little bit, I'm open to having that discussion. But I want to start off today because we're talking specifically about membership, what active membership means. And that's really why I want to start off with the pledge, because we had a lot of different answers, right? And so I think it's important to recognize what some of those different things are. Go ahead, Ron.
Yes, sir. So the 1 minute message was created for that purpose, what you just talked about. And that is, when we talk about living the life we want, the 1 minute message says the National Federation of the Blind knows that blindness is not the characteristic that defines you or your future. Every day we raise the expectations because low expectations creates obstacles and barriers between us and our dreams. We can live the life we want. Blindness is not what holds us back.
Absolutely.
You know, I was wondering if we would hear a 1 minute message. So absolutely, you know, it's once again, though, it holds the power that we give it as the membership. And it's powerful. It's as powerful as each and every one of us. So absolutely. And so then when we're transitioning into meeting people where they're at, when we're, you know, building our membership, right? We recognize that every individual is different. And so we reckon, and I kind of want to open up this conversation a little bit in a second, because it takes being a little bit open and putting people in roles where they feel comfortable and in places where they're able to succeed. And so just as a little bit of a general, we'll get a few people. One, to if you want to chime into a bit more into what we've been talking about, please feel free. But I also would like if some people would talk about a little bit about what they feel like, maybe one strength and one weakness that they have, because we all have our own set of strengths and weaknesses. But I think it's important to recognize them and recognize that your friends, your family, this organization being your friends and family, you know, what to be there for you in some of those different situations. So opening up the conversation again to those individuals and kind of speaking about what we talked about, as well as share maybe one strength and one weakness with us.
This is Michael Loff.
Yes, Michael.
Mm-hmm. I would say the skill that I feel strong that I have is communication. So that spoken word, written form, when I need to get a point across, get something to happen. But my weakness is the ability to share that knowledge. And I mention that because that's what all of us, we all have our unique skills, and we just may have to be a little bit more willing at times to share those with others, so that we can all grow and be better as people.
You know, I like that. You know, when Michael Loff came in and you stated your strength, I thought you were going to say something about choosing music or something, because I really enjoyed the music as I came in. But I think that's neat. So thank you for opening and sharing with us. Anybody else, a strength or a weakness that they feel like they have?
Susan.
Hey, Susan.
Okay, so my superpower or my strength, if you will, is networking. And my weakness is I don't really like to study very much. I don't like research. I'm kind of lazy when it comes to having to delve into something deeply.
Thank you for opening up with that. I think that's important. You know, I think that's really neat. I think one, like being honest and being able to share like you just did, but then two, and recognizing that, you know, you have your members and your friends around you to assist you in any type of situation that, you know, research maybe involves, who knows? So I think that's neat. But then, you know, they could, you know, you could help them in terms of the networking and everything like that. So thank you, Susan.
Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
I think my strength is my passion to serve, but then my weakness is communication, conveying information. I guess maybe finding the right words to do it effectively is something I'm working at and trying to improve upon.
Mm-hmm. So thank you, Barbara.
Alex Gilling.
I see Misty first, and then I'll get you. Okay, Alex?
Okay.
So strengths and weaknesses. I would have to say that probably one of my greatest strengths is my passion and conviction. At the same time, I'd like to say that one of my greatest weaknesses is my passion and conviction. Let me explain that. So especially when it comes to issues of social justice in particular, if I think that something is being done wrong to someone, whether it be the blindness and disability communities or other communities, I'm going to pursue trying to make it right. I'm going to advocate on behalf of trying to make that right. At the same time, I sometimes feel that I might get too passionate in the sense that I can become impatient with people whom I feel are perpetrators of certain microaggressions, social injustice, whatever, even if they may not have intended to be malicious about things. And so I really have to watch that. So, I mean, this is, again, it's sort of a two-edged sword, if you will, I think, in my case.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you for recognizing. Thank you for sharing. I think, you know, part of this conversation, and I'll head over to Alex and then Tammy after that. You know, part of this conversation, Misty, I would say is one, feeling open, recognizing and learning more about yourself as well as those around you. Right. But not only that, I'll say this, you know, we often say the National Federation of Blind changed my life. And that's something that I've said in the past and will continue saying. But, you know, maybe even the more appropriate and best way to actually phrase would be the fact that it assisted me in evolving. And when I say evolving, I still feel like I have the same personality I've always had. And I get to joke and laugh with people and everything like that. And so not that I changed, but I got to evolve my life to something greater. greater and better and be there for others as well. And, you know, being my passion specifically is empowerment. Maybe I'll get to that a little bit later, but I don't want to make this too much about me. But, you know, that evolution of yourself and recognizing that, I think, is extremely important for all of us so far as who has shared. But understanding the fact that it's not about necessarily changing who you are as a person, but yet evolving who you are and recognizing some of these different things. So thank you so much, Misty, for, you know, talking about the fact that your strength can also be your weakness. I think that's really neat. Alex.
So one strength I feel I have is kind of the ability to empathize and sort of listen to others. Perhaps it's probably a skill that kind of got me into my field now, but I can just remember from being a kid on up, everyone always seemed to bring their situations to me, and it wouldn't always be about solve it. It would just be, hey, thanks for listening. But on the other hand, I think one of my weaknesses is, and it's something I'm even trying to work through now, is kind of that follow through. Like when it comes to more difficult things, like especially, I think Susan mentioned like research or stuff like that. It's sort of that showing up is half the battle. So like once you get started, you're okay. But sometimes getting started is the hard part.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Alex. I believe Tammy is next.
I was laughing when Alex was speaking because I thought, wow, Alex, you and I are soulmates. I have a similar strength for myself that I think I have, and that's problem solving. I am the person that people come to, and I do seem to be able to see things from multiple viewpoints and figure out how to solve it. Figure out how to do that compromise and get it solved for whatever it is. And then I think one of my weaknesses is similar to Alex's. It's kind of that follow up or that follow through, I guess. It's not so much following through. I do follow through with things, but maybe it's more overcommitment, I think, because I tend to take on a lot of projects and I finish them up, but it's not, I feel stressed out about it. So it's kind of a weakness that I take on more than I probably should. And so sometimes following up after the fact and, you know, doing that evaluation and going, well, how did that go? Just doesn't happen because I move on to the next thing. So, mm-hmm.
You know, I guess you and Alex are either soulmates or you all should never work together.
We get along fine, but funny that he said what he did because he and I are very similar. We're so similar. We might clash.
we'll be on a cruise next year in December.
Yes, that's we cool. will. That'll that's be cool. fun.
I only bring that up though for a second as mainly as a joke, but too though, you know, we all have different strengths and weaknesses, right? And so then, you know, if one, being able to recognize that with the people that you're working with, then you recognize then two, how you all can, you know, take a project together and figure out who's going to do what, right? And so one, being able to recognize that, I think it's important that when we are doing different projects as individuals or fundraising or membership or anything like that, I think it's important to one, recognize your strengths and weaknesses, but two, you know, if you need to ask for help, ask for it. If you're struggling with somebody, let somebody know, you know, because that is truly how one, the evolution of you growing, how you grow, you know, because we're none of us, not any of us on this call or in this life or in this world are perfect, right? And we're going to make mistakes along the way, but we do have our different strengths that we can lean on that somebody would lean on us for as well. So thank you, both of you. Next, we have Lee.
Thank you again. I think one of my strengths is basically finding my niche to get into where I fit in. I think I have a capacity to do that. But then also one of my weaknesses is really understanding my own biases and trying to work through those biases as we really work toward diversity, equity, and inclusion, and just dealing with the truth of diving deep into the I within me to understand my own biases and to work with that within myself.
Yeah. I think that's definitely powerful in its own right. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing. Tyler.
I would say one of my strengths is public speaking. I can I can talk to a group of people. I'm just fine and about certain things. But one of my weaknesses is trying to, I'll go with what Lee just said, understanding different groups of people and how they live. And I'm afraid I'm going to offend certain groups of people by my language of words, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I don't mean to do that. I come to everybody in love. And so sometimes it's hard for me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you. You know, when we're talking about strength, is what this means for us as an organization, what this means for us as individuals. And I like looking at the participants list and everything. And one, thank you all once again for being here, hanging in, listening. Because you haven't participated, but I think it's important to even listen and kind of gain and gather the conversation that we're having here, right? And so when we're talking about this conversation, this specifically one, I mean, I want you to take a lot from this conversation, learning about your peers, and not only that, learning more about yourself so you can continue to evolve in the National Federation of the Blind. But I want all of you to think about your strength and weakness, but also think about them as, who do I need to talk to in my organization or beyond that, or both in my organization and outside of it, to not only work on my weakness to make that better, but work on my strength to make that better as well. You know, I think that's so awesome. Okay, I have this strength and I'm gonna leave that there. But what if you didn't only make your weakness better, you made your strength better? You know, I've gotten to a part in my life where I feel like my weakness has become my strength in different situations. And so, and my strengths have even gotten better, or I relaxed on one thing so then I was no longer great at it, you know? And so continue to hone in on your craft and whatever that means. Maybe as individuals, as well as and I'll get more specific to membership in a little bit, and we'll get ready. That's kind of how I'll at least begin to close, not exactly close. But I think these conversations are super important. And so one thing for sure I want everybody to take with them is figure out who in this organization, one person within the organization, as well as one person outside of it. Who do I need to talk with to not only get better at my weakness, maybe one person for the weakness that you need to speak with, and maybe one person for the strength that you feel like you have, you know, so we can continue to learn more about each other as well as evolve. I thought I saw another raised hand at one point, but it seemed to have disappeared now.
I think it was Michael Harden. Did you have something you wanted to share, Michael?
Yes, I was just going to make a comment on my strengths and weaknesses.
Please.
I was just going to say one of my strengths is my ability to be analytical. As someone kind of said earlier, I'm a good problem solver. So that's awesome. But on the other hand, a weakness could be for me, like being a people pleaser in an effort to avoid confrontation. So that's where it stands for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. I'm connecting with you quite a bit right now, Michael. Oh, man. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, I think the point he made a few seconds ago regarding working on strengths and weaknesses are really vital. Because I would say that one of my biggest weaknesses is that I am not a polished impromptu speaker. There are others in our affiliate that could run circles around me with that. But I cherish this role that I've recently been elected to because it forced me to work on some of that. It forced me to not use that as an excuse anymore, but get in there and try to fix it. And I would say that my strengths are I'm a deep thinker. I am a writer, and you know, I have a passion for other people. I want to make sure everyone feels included. So yes, I think it's definitely important to capitalize on those strengths and keep them moving, keep them growing, but also to challenge yourself and get out there and work on those weaknesses and you know, you can change them if you want to.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. So once again, I challenge all of you. Did I hear a name? I'm sorry.
Jane.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Hi, Tariq.
Hello. It is
so good
to hear you, and thank you for coming on and hosting this today. I love to hear anything that you have to say about chapter development and strengthening. So thank you for coming. And I wanted to say that about my strengths and weaknesses, I think that my strengths, I tend to not be as vocal as I should be. That's a weakness. But then again, as a strength, I tend to listen to people a lot. And I care deeply about what they have to say about situations. And so I think that because I'm basically a quiet person, I don't always let what I'm thinking be known to others. And that's something that I'm working on.
You know, I want to thank you for, I guess, recognizing one, like your strength and your weakness, and recognizing the fact that you're working on it. You know, I think that is that's one of the keys for sure. You know, that we and why I wanted to even state that piece about having those conversations with others and at least starting the work to work on it. You know, So Gene, thank you so much. I think that's extremely powerful for sure. And it's my pleasure to be here. You know, seems like there's a wonderful affiliate in Indiana. And so I would love to even be there in person one day. So
we would love that though.
We'd love to have you.
Absolutely.
Mr. Tyreek, yes. I'm Abigail Fleener, and Abigail. I would like to say good morning, good afternoon, wherever we all may be.
That's it.
And I want to chime in on the strengths and weakness part of your conversation. I believe that one of my strengths is that I'm willing to help wherever I can. But I believe one of my weaknesses is sometimes I think I know what needs to be done when I really don't.
Wow. That's I really want to appreciate your openness and your vulnerability with that. I think that's definitely commendable. You know, I guess if I can ask you, Abigail, and I don't want to make you be too vulnerable or anything like that, 'cause I think that's a really interesting one to almost recognize that. Would you be able to speak maybe a little bit more to, I guess, why you feel that way?
Well, you know, sometimes when we take on positions, we feel that certain tasks fall under those positions, mm-hmm. and they don't. Mm-hmm. And I have, you know, learned, you know, that sometimes do what we ask you to do and don't do what you think needs done is, you know, a better policy. You know, if I just, you know, no matter what project you're in, if you're not sure, don't just step forward and do it. Ask the president first. I had a very big thing with that this past week. And I mean, to me, it takes a lot of strength to be able to stand up and say, I was wrong. And, you know, and then step back and learn from your mistake to become a better participant and a better part of the team, mm-hmm. you know, and I have to always remember that there's not an I in the word team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, you touched on a few different things that I wanted to highlight, but there were a few. So I'll just stick with the one, and I'll say, you know, I'll put two together, that learn from our mistakes and that team thing. You know, we are all on this conversation. We've all joined this organization for maybe several different reasons, but one of the greatest common factors of it all is that we believe in the empowerment of blind people, right? And whatever that means. So let's make sure that we always come back to that, you know, and what that means, and learning from our mistakes and recognizing that we're a team. I think that's powerful. I think that's neat. And once again, want to thank you, Abigail, for your recognition for that and opening up with us today. I think it's important. So thank you so much. And so I don't think I've missed anybody. So Susan. Just going back. Oh, yeah. So who was that? I'm sorry.
Susan.
Yes, please.
I just wanted to say, I think the reason that we have a good affiliate here is because people have enough humility to admit that they don't know everything and are willing to take a step back sometimes and ask when they don't know. And, you know, nobody should ever feel ashamed of that. That's really important. And, you know, we're all here to help each other. You know, we all need to have sympathy for each other when we're trying new things and give each other permission, give one another permission to try new things and to do things that we've never done before and to, you know, make mistakes, because that's, you know, part of being human is we make mistakes and we learn from our mistakes. And I just think that's powerful. So thank you, Abby, and everyone, really.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, nobody, now I said this earlier, none of us can be perfect. You know what I mean? I'll tell you a little funny thing. So one of my friends, and it came up in the conversation earlier that I was, I'm recently married. And when we were doing the planning for the wedding and everything like that, one of my friends, he got a little frustrated with me because I didn't know exactly like what was going to happen for like different things happening, because we had a few people over for the weekend and everything like that. And I was like, I didn't really have all the answers for like the wedding day and different things like that. Right. And so you all are opening up. So I'm going to open up a little bit to you all. And once again, really appreciate that. So he was getting a little frustrated with me. Excuse me. And so we're having this back and forth. And I just said to him, I was like, I'll be honest with you, man. Like, I don't know. Believe it or not, and I didn't mean to be super sarcastic, but that's kind of our back and forth with our conversation. So we laughed about it afterwards. But I should have told him, I said, you know, I mean, I don't really know like X, Y, and Z, but like, believe it or not, this is my first time planning a wedding, and you know, hopefully it's my last. So we had this conversation and we laughed about it and everything was cool. So needless to say, I think that's so important to recognize, one, those things within yourself, but then two, having the patience to receive that, you know, I think that's important. And so bring this all back to the membership piece, right? I don't know if this conversation necessarily was what all of you expected, maybe not, and maybe we're going to get some nitty gritty things. And I'll go very probably quickly over some of the getting a new member things fairly quickly. That information is at other places, but I did want to have a conversation similar to this one, because sometimes when we're trying to be a part of the organization, being a part of our chapter, doing the work of the chapter, and we're getting tired and we're getting burnt out, we often have to come back, take not only one step back, but like 30 steps back, and say, what do I pledge to when I'm a part of this organization, right? I say the phrase, live the life you want, like at least once or twice a day, but have I really talked about what that means to me, okay? And so when we start to have those conversations, we're like, okay, well, now let's talk about me. What, as an individual, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses, okay? What can I best bring to the organization? You know, if I am the fundraising chair for my chapter, and I don't like asking for money, one, maybe I still might need to step up in that situation, but two, I gotta ask for help, you know? And so also make sure that people are in roles where they can succeed and have the resources for those is so important. Because once again, as was stated very recently, we talk about the I part of the pledge and everything like that, but you know, all these I's, we are the National Federation of the Blind. And it's not only I am, but we are, excuse me. And so it's so important to recognize those things. Now, when we take all these steps back and we reflect and we've listened and we're hearing others, continue to have and not only change here, but evolve who you are in your organization and have those questions, have those conversations. And as we continue to move forward, we bring in new people into our organization who are truly, one, believing in our mission, but also trying to find out where they fit, where they fit in, and assist people and empower people to find where those places are. And sometimes where the balancing act is, sometimes you're challenging people to grow, and they might not think this is what's best for them or what have you, but we're challenging people to grow within the organization and really realize that, hey, you can do this. And so sometimes it's even just encouraging the person next to you or the student when Lee's listening to their conversations. You know, it's those little things that can truly change the organization, recognizing your strengths and recognizing your weaknesses. And so we're bringing people with this welcoming atmosphere into the organization. We're recognizing when we're doing great. We're recognizing when we need to work on things and bringing new people into that culture to continue to build. And first and foremost, you know, I know that we talk about filling out the membership form properly and making sure we get all those information in, and I'll get to that in a second. But just being honest, like, your membership, you know, isn't like the form is the logistics, right? The form is the making sure that we have the name and the this and the that or what have you. But it's not only are just about the forms. And that's why I didn't really want to discuss or talk too much about that, because it's not all about that. It's about each and every one of you and how you spend your time in your organization, the opportunities that you give to not only others, but the opportunities you give to yourself in your organization. And so continue to promote, progress. You know, there's no right or wrong way to exactly do it, but you figure out what works for you and your strengths. I guess before I continue a little bit just about some specific membership things, does anybody have any questions or comments about what I just said? And so recognize that some of you might get tired. You know, we mentioned very early about this being ready, right? And I said that was something that I wanted to come back to a little bit. You know, I've said this two times, three times, I'm going to say it again. You know, we're not all perfect. None of us are perfect. And so we may or may not be ready all the time, but we can do our best. We can do the best that we can and what that looks like, and being able to even sacrifice in any which way that you can to be your best. And so when we're talking about now membership, having that welcoming atmosphere, being there for others, that's one, the key. Having your chapter meetings and your events and your fundraising events, being a place where people just want to be, right? Like, I am happy to hang out with, you know, Susan and Alex and Diane, and we're going to enjoy each other's company. And not only that, we're going to make some money for the organization, right? You know, I'm going to learn more about, you know, what's going on legislative wise and advocacy with Misty. And we're going to, you know, work on this resolution, and it's going to be great. You know what I mean? Because, you know, our strengths and weaknesses, we come together and we have those conversations. And so once again, recognizing your strength, recognizing your weakness, super important, and understanding and recognizing when you can be wrong or when you can be right, and recognize that we're all a team in this whole atmosphere of creating a welcoming one.
Tariq Brown.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Tariq, can you expound a little bit on membership as it relates to meeting people where they are? And how can you get them in the organization when you've been trying for years and years that they just not coming? Or what do you do about meeting people where they are? Can you give us a little background on that? Thanks.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, excuse me. That's such an interesting question. And I think that the best way that I can at least begin to answer it is that, unfortunately, Ron, there is no one size fits all. It doesn't exist. And so I think that's the first thing, that you don't only have to, you have to really know that it's not one size fits all, because what you'll tell one student and tell another could possibly be different. And so in my opinion, Ron, and others chime in, please feel free. I think that's important, that it's not one size fits all, is listening to those individuals. You know, sometimes when we're talking to people about the organization, we're so excited, and then we're giving them the gospel, right? We're telling them everything about the organization, when what somebody might really want and what they may need at that moment is to just be heard. And so I'll say this, you know, recognizing that it's not one size fits all. Like, somebody might be super interested in the advocacy part, and so then we're giving them all that, but they just really want to be heard and listened to. So it's not one size fits all, and sometimes you just have to listen. And then when you listen, is then you can maybe give those people the information that they may want. And, you know, I'll say that the consistency comes away with it for sure. That follow-up is a piece for sure. I stayed in the beginning. My first times in the organization, my first time the NFB was brought up to me, I wasn't necessarily like, boom, chapter meeting, when is it? I didn't do that. I would love to tell you that I did, but I'm not going to lie to you all. So I think it's about knowing that it's not one size fits all, listening to others, and, you know, seeing where your likes, dislikes, you know, maybe it's like, oh, like my friend, Abigail does this, you know, maybe you should like talk to her, you know, gay people, because we're all different. I could probably talk about that particular question though for a very long time, but I guess Ron, would you say fit the bill necessarily for what you were asking?
Yes, sir. I just think it's important that we understand that we have to meet people where they are. A lot of times, you know, people say, well, I'm not a joiner. I don't want to come into the organization at this particular time. Or you might say, there's a commonality. You like music. We have a division for that. Or we have an entrepreneurs division. You know, you find a niche, as Lee was talking about earlier, and you get in it. You're right. There is no retrofit for all things in this organization. But if we can meet people where they are and bring them to the table, sometimes people feel as though there's no room at the table for me in that organization. And what I say to that is, yes, it is, because we're getting ready to add another leaf to this table. There you go.
That's it. And you mentioned divisions, Ron. And I think one of the cool things, and like, you know, music and different things like that, I think one of the neat things too is if, you know, we bring them to the table and we got mashed potatoes and we got turkey, we got ham. But you know what? I'm a vegan, so I want to bring something else to the table. You know, come on in, you know, come on in, bring it to the table. I think, you know, let's create something new. And I think that's one of the neat things about our organization as well. Yes, Diane.
I just wanted to expand on that a little bit too. You know, unfortunately, a lot of times it takes a while for people to see who we are and what we can do for them. And another thing I'll add to that is that, you know, I think that's why it is important to have so many different divisions and different interest groups, so we can, in fact, meet people where they are and you know, offer something to them. Just a little bit of confession here. I'm also a person. I am totally blind, but I also have a very significant hearing impairment. And so for a long time, I've been a member of the organization for close to 27 years, but for a long time, I felt very misplaced because, I got the message, well, you know, we're about blindness and most, you know, the issues you might have hearing at some of the, you know, conventions or conferences or whatever, that's not our issue. That's not our deal. But that has changed over the years. And you know, now there is a division for those of us who deal with dual disabilities in that area. You know, and the organization as a whole has taken some measures to address those kind of things and to respect those of us who have that dual challenge. So, you know, I think it's very, very important to meet people where they are and to offer something to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think I heard another name. I'm sorry. And I also have, I believe it's either Jamie or Jaime with a raised hand. I'm not exactly sure. But who was the name I just heard?
Susan. Okay.
Couple of us, I guess.
Susan, you can go first. I'll go in.
Oh, I was just going to say part of the richness of life is relationships. And if you meet somebody and you want to try and bring them into the organization, one powerful way to do that is to introduce them to somebody that you know has something in common with them and you know, encourage them to develop a relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Who else do we have?
Barbara.
Yes, Barbara.
Okay. First of all, lest I forget, let me say thank you to our Indiana affiliate. And I say our because even though I represent Alabama, we are a family. I truly appreciate this platform today, getting a wealth of information. And I also want to share regarding meeting people where they are. It to me is always encouraging to kind of listen to the individual. Sometimes we can come off, and I've done this before, as a super blind person. And, you know, meeting a person where they are, that's not always a good thing. Even though we're in the National Federation of the Blind, we have advanced to where we are now. Listen to the individual and then kind of focus on where they are and how we can best give them information regarding our organization.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is Michael off?
Absolutely. Go ahead, Michael, and I want to make sure we get, I think that's Jamie on the phone. But yeah, yes, Michael.
Okay. I'll just make it quick then. What you want to do, if you want to get someone into your group or common interests, what have you, you have to find their passion. What is this person passionate about? For everyone, it's different. And especially when talking to someone newly blinded, right? You want to integrate into a new life. You got to find what it is that's important to them. And that's different for each person. Someone, it could just be following sports. Someone, it could be about keeping their home up. Or they love their garden and their yard or their animals. And they want to make those things happen. You got to find out, you got to find their passion. That's how you're going to bring someone into working with you.
Yeah. I like that, Michael. I really do. I'll say this. I noticed you said sports at first. You know, we might have a difficult conversation. I don't know. I might tell you who I like. We might not be friends anymore. But I
use that as an example because I knew someone's life was changed just from that. That's something, yeah. You know, I worked for a company, we created content, and okay, that wouldn't have been the first thing that I thought someone wanted to do, being newly blinded. But for them, it made the difference. Then they cared about other things. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for that. I love it. You know, the word passion is an interesting one. You know, I think that we, like I said, we all have our likes and dislikes for sure. I could have a whole long discussion about the word passion. I actually talked about it even on one of my video episodes, actually, that's about the word passion. And it's interesting. But I think there's a lot of different perspectives to have about that. But speaking exactly to what you just said, Michael, I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. Jamie, I see that you are, and you're unmuted now. So yes, go ahead, Jamie. Or if it's Jaime, I'm sorry if I'm getting that incorrect.
It's Jamie. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm, I can.
Thank you for allowing me to speak, first of all. And second of all, it's definitely an opinion. Or first, I'll state my strengths and weakness, I guess. I can be a very reliable person. If people ask me for things or, you know, I'm very dependable. And one of my weaknesses, though, is definitely my communication, how I communicate things. Sometimes my tones sound angry or gruff when I may just be passionate about something. And that is what's leading me into my next opinion. I will state it as that. Earlier, we were touching on equality. And one of my big issues personally for myself is that the NFB and the ACB are different entities. But at the end of the day, all of us are blind or have some kind of visual impairment. And so we are all one big community, whether you are the NFB or the ACB or nothing at all. And you all should be heard and considered whether you're in an organization or not.
Yeah.
And that's all I want to say. Thank you for everyone's time.
Yeah, no, thank you for sharing. I really appreciate it. You know, when you talk about your strengths and your weaknesses, you know, I think that I'm opening up a little bit with you all. So bear with me. You know, I think it's so neat and so great how we can have this open platform to have this discussion and, you know, learn more about others as well as, you know, ourselves, right? And being open with that. I think there's a great deal of strength and power and being respectable that comes with that. And, you know, you mentioned the communication piece as well. The reliable thing, I think that's fantastic. You mentioned the piece about, you know, feeling like you probably don't always come off the way that you would want to or anything like that. You know, I think that's, I just one of the first things I thought about, I'll be honest with you, is, my mom, because, you know, my mom, I know she's always coming from a place of love, right? It doesn't always sound like it all the time, but I know she's coming from a place of love. And I think that's important. So thank you so much for sharing. And, you know, excuse me, speaking on your other opinion that you had stated, you know, I think it's important to just somewhat like address it, because when we talk about the National Federation of the Blind, you know, President Rick Obono in his last banquet speech, you know, he made a point to say that, you know, what the organization does, you know, isn't only for the National Federation of the Blind. It's for all blind people, you know, and I think that's very important to make sure that I state and that we recognize that what the National Federation of the Blind does isn't only about the organization, it's about all blind people. So I want to make sure that we all recognize that and that we know that. So thank you, Jamie. I'm sorry, I'm probably gonna say this wrong. Catressa Cruz, you are muted. I don't know if we're able to help unmute.
I believe it's Catressa Cruz.
Catressa Cruz. Okay, Catressa Cruz.
Hello, can you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Can y'all hear me?
Yep, loud and clear.
Yeah. Hello?
Hello.
Absolutely.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you.
Can y'all hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear.
I enjoyed the meeting. I'm from the Montgomery chapter of the NFT, Alabama. Okay. I forget. Well, my weaknesses and strength. My weaknesses would probably be I need to, I'm working on, you know, staying focused and making sure I, prepare myself, you know, when I'm in the meetings. And sometimes I feel misunderstood by other sighted people. And it's good to be understood and try to get people to understand it from a blind person's point of view. You were saying meeting people where they are. I'm saying change. You know, change does not come easy for everybody. You know, back then, you know, we use Braille and, you know, we got, now we have more Zoom and we have the cell phones and iPhones. You know, back then when I was coming up, you know, we didn't have iPhones, and now the kids now, they learn computers and they're not even 10 years old yet. But I learned about computers when I got in high school. So it kind of, we got to have some change. Change is important. It doesn't feel good. It hurts and it's kind of hard, but people got to be willing to change. You know, if they lose their sight, they got to be willing to change and be willing to learn the new technology. And that's where I feel about meeting people where they are. And they say that, if you want to be a good leader, you got to be a good follower. I have been a follower probably all my life, but this time I was, especially in my church, and I was promoted as over the president over the missionary in my church. And because we're a smaller church, you know, our pastor, to me, it's easier to find potential in people and help, you know, introduce people to leadership, because, you know, you have a handful of members then in a big church where people overlook you and stuff like that. So, that's my strengths. I love to sing and I'm willing to learn, and that's what I like. That's what I got to say.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Catressa. I think that
my internet's fading in and out, so excuse me.
Yeah, no worries at all. Thank you so much for sharing. I think that, you know, when we're trying to, I think that, you know, we all come from different places and different backgrounds, and, you know, I feel like throughout a day. I think that it's important to recognize, though, too, like, not everybody's going to understand you. I feel like I get misunderstood from sighted and blind people, you know? So it's, I think that those things are going to happen. You know, all we can do is kind of work on taking our time and being patient with others and figuring out where we connect is super important. But, you know, thank you so much for sharing that. All right. So as, you know, we've evolved this conversation and had, you know, several different things being said and figuring out what the next steps are, right? That's what we're thinking about. What next steps are after this conversation, what this looks like after we get off this call. Oh, actually, one thing I did want to mention before I got to that, though, because Katrisa, you mentioned technology. You know, it's funny, though, that you say about, like, the iPhones and the computers and everything like that. I mean, and anybody correct me if I'm wrong, and social media has been great and having a different Facebook page is amazing, because you never know who you're going to connect with and who you're going to reach out with and all those great things. But, you know, in my opinion, you know, still until this day, I think that word of mouth still has worked best for me. Has been the more sustainable and consistent for me. You know, I think that's still important. So even though we have all these different technologies out there, we're learning how to use them and create more platforms. One, I think that is extremely important. But the other piece of that, though, too, is still recognizing that your speech and talking to others and using your ears and listening to each other, as Barbara mentioned, is so important. and so with that being said, that meeting people where you're at is, you know, so important. And, you know, this is also, as an organization, we're all over the country. I know I live in Arizona now, but I was born in New Jersey. I grew up in Pennsylvania, got my master's in Louisiana, and now I live in Arizona. So the organization's followed me everywhere I've gone. And so it's just important. Now, once again, as you bring people into the organization, you're once again, you know, figuring out where they're at, what they want to be, what their passion is, you know, inviting them in your organization, getting those membership forms filled out with your membership chairs, you know, we're having people feel welcome when they come on in and having that welcoming ceremony for when they come into our chapter meetings and proceed to want to be a member of the organization. I know I'm only touching on those things right now. If anybody has any questions, please, and I can elaborate. Excuse me.
Diane Graves.
Yes, Diane.
Mm-hmm. I know someone had expressed earlier to me that they'd like you to expand a little bit on what the role of a chapter, the membership chair of a chapter should be. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I would say, first and foremost, you know, trying to do what you can to make sure you're having that welcoming atmosphere. That's how I'll start. Keeping that morale up in the chapter and everything like that. But to talk logistics for a second, some of the main things, having access to the membership form, where when you have a new member who wants to become a member of the organization, there's a link. I don't know the address off the top of my head, but I can get it over to everybody. But basically what it is you fill out that form with the new member. Okay. And so the new member does not fill out that form themselves. The membership chair or somebody who's designated to do that fills out the form, and they have that conversation, and that's how the information gets put in. And so then they have that contact with the membership chair. They've created, you know, conversation with each other, so that new member has probably somewhere to go if they have any questions or anything about their membership form or membership in general. So filling out that form is what then goes to National to then work on getting like packets and the coin together to be sent over to them. And so that's how that process works. And just want to clip and make sure I emphasize the fact that that's not a form they fill out on their own. That's filled out with the membership chair or someone designated to do that for the chapter. And so those are the big things in terms of welcoming spirit, attitude, everything like that, making sure that form gets filled out and organizing the membership list that you all have, making sure it's in good standard. Those are the main things. Now, depending on where your chapter may be and where you all are at in a recruitment or what the goals of the chapter is, I would say it kind of would depend at that moment, and also making the role your own, in the sense of maybe they want to have a session like this with the chapter, you know, or that's something you would talk to your president about and seeing what that looks like. But specifically that membership form and making members feel welcome when they're there, and continuing to just have that welcoming atmosphere in the organization, I would say is the foundation of the role.
Okay. And then what about the membership role of the membership chair of the state affiliate? What would their role be at that point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one, I mean, if the membership chair of the chapter has any questions, you know, they should be able to go to that affiliate membership chair of, because that making sure those forms are getting filled out, right? So one, if anything else, in the affiliate role, if you're in that affiliate role, you know, you're a resource for your chapters, right? You're that resource that person they might come to with questions, and maybe you have to ask somebody else what the answer might be, which is absolutely fine. But being that resource, making sure that all the membership lists are in order for the chapters. And so one, you're going to have, like, if I'm an affiliate membership chair and I notice that X chapter, you know, want to make sure that they have all their lists in order and everything like that. But just to kind of overlook all the membership lists, have them, you know, prepared in a way that works for the chapter and affiliate, to maintain getting connected with anybody in the chapter and having that contact information for anybody if needed, and things like that. So to overlook all the chapter membership lists and have that overall list as an affiliate.
And Tyreek, and so those are the
I would say the logistical, not so fun stuff, but we got to make sure we're reaching out to people kind of things. Michael Loft?
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that, would you not agree? We also have things like a dedicated phone number so that, look, someone just wants to reach out, make a call, speak to someone, you know, find out what their needs are and make it happen. Likewise, the email address, so that, you know, we get that initial communication started.
100%.
I mean, I see some organizations on both sides that think, okay, we're not going to spend a dime. We're going to go Google Voice thing, and they don't spend money. So it just says Google Voice is going to connect you, but it doesn't say who you are. You know, yeah, we're the NFB of Indiana. You have questions about blindness, we're here to help you. You know, and you could do whatever. Press one if you want to talk to the president, or press two if you're interested in Newsline and reading newspapers. And that, would you not agree, that's some basic communications that I think we need to get in place a little better and make stronger so that those initial connections get made?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we're talking about phone numbers and reaching out to others, you know, as an affiliate and as a chapter, you know your ways and your means and everything like that and what you're able to do. I mean, some of those conversations might just even just be a volunteer, making sure that we're reaching out to those new members or current members who that we haven't heard from in a while, right? And so finding the best way that works for your chapter, your affiliate, what works for you to be able to put in place to have something work out like that. Now, if you want to create like some type of system like that automated system or whatever, anybody who, you know, you're going to have somebody probably that feels comfortable doing those things, right? And to put that into place and making sure that, once again, that you have the ways and means to be able to put different things like that into place, whatever that may mean. And then not only that, the proper support and follow-up. So when we're talking about putting different things in place, now we're talking about getting different committees involved. I know X person is good with technology, Y person is reliable, and Z person is good with follow-up, right? And so we get those three people in a committee, we can create something really special. And so with that being said, I think those things are important, no doubt. You got to find out how that best works for your chapter and your affiliate. I wouldn't say there's necessarily one specific way to do all those different things. It's about making sure that you're feeding or getting into people's strengths and create it in a way that's sustainable for your membership.
Ron Brown.
Yes, Ron. Mm-hmm.
Yes, one of the, as Madam President asked about that, what are the duties of an affiliate membership chair? One of the key duties is to make sure that he or she disseminate information down from the top. So if national membership has information that is needed to be spread to the different affiliates, then that membership person, they know who to go to in the state of Indiana, in the state of Arkansas, Alabama, whoever. You appoint a membership chair so that they can disseminate information down from the top. And then that membership chair disseminates it out to the different chapters. It's just a pipeline or a vehicle, if you will, to disseminate key information.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, absolutely, Ron. And, you know, it's the, and I personally, like, I don't want to say I overlooked it, but I definitely was kind of even thinking more like specific, like things look with the affiliate. But you know what, that should not be understated at all. Like, the, making sure that information gets spread is extremely important. We don't want anything being missed. Absolutely. Thank you, Ron. Anybody else have any questions or comments or anything like that?
This is Diane.
Yes, Diane.
I'd just like to, you know, emphasize that one of the key components is communication. And, you know, if others have talked about how sometimes they're concerned about how they come across to people. So if you have, you know, questions about what someone is saying, you know, you'll want to ask that person, or you want to ask for clarification, you know, because technology is a wonderful thing. I mean, it's allowed us to come together. I have been really excited. You know, one of the silver linings in the dark cloud these last few years is I've gotten to know people in other affiliates and been able to join their meetings and been able to, I mean, technology has just been amazing during this time. But sometimes, you know, when we're using technology, when we're using things like email or, you know, things like that, they can come across, or, you know, social media posts, they can come across a little more harshly to people because you're not getting that tone of voice. You're not getting that personal interaction. So, you know, if you have doubts or concerns about what someone else is saying, the best thing to do is, you know, ask for clarification, ask that person, expound on you know what they're trying to get across, or you know, we are a family, so you know it's just important to keep that in mind and to you know interact with others to the best of your ability. We are all different. We have different, you know, communication styles and methods and all of that. So, you know, just important to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, technology is great, but there's nothing that can replace that interpersonal interaction, I guess is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Come on, land the plane.
Right. Well, I noticed that we have another raised hand, and then I'll probably wrap up here. Katressa Cruz.
Okay. I just want to y'all to be encouraged, you know, that we trust, you know, I don't know what everybody's religion is, but I just believe that there's a power that's bigger than us. And we just trust that the Lord would help us. And it's a blessing that he's allowed us to be a part of something big.
Mm-hmm.
So just absolutely. Be encouraged.
Absolutely.
Encourage one another. And I encourage you. And you encourage me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because I've been praying. I've been praying for the blind and the physically handicapped. I do. That's my prayer assignment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, before I wrap up here, I want to make sure I once again answered everybody's questions, comments, and would be more than happy to come back again. Even if you have more conversations, I'll make sure that my contact information is available to all of you. But I guess before I wrap up, Diane, Madam President, did you have anything else that you wanted me to address at this time, or anything that did I touch on everything for the most part?
Yeah, I think you've done an excellent job. I think this has been a really productive conversation. I definitely look forward to more conversations like this in the future. I just want to thank you so much for taking time out of your Saturday to come and be with us in the Indiana affiliate, and thank you for all of those who have joined us around the country. I know I saw Barbara and Jamie and Nina, and we're just really excited to have you all here. And Katrisa, I didn't get to go down the whole list of participants, so if there are others that I missed, thank you so much for joining us today. We're really excited to have you. So, I just want to say thank you to everyone.
Absolutely. I think this was a great conversation for sure. It was my pleasure for being here. Thank you all so much for having me, and looking forward to getting in contact with more of you and all of you in the future. Maybe I'll see some of you at the national convention, but with that being said, there's nothing really else to say, but let's go build the National Federation of the Blind. Everybody enjoy the rest of your week.